Amen. It's good to be here once again. Been on the run this morning already, getting ready to go. We'll be leaving right after this morning services here, and we will drive. We have a point that we're going to stop at, so we already got a little hotel reserved. That way we can get a little bit of rest, just trying to break it up, get as much done tonight as we can, and then we don't have to get up super early tomorrow and run really hard to get up. We'll have about maybe 6.5-7 hours from where we stop at tonight in South Carolina to head on up. We pick them up at the airport tomorrow at 5:30-ish, unless they get delayed, as when we went to New Mexico, we had multiple delays. It was late when they got there, and it was late when we got back, because we were 4 hours at that point. We were 4 hours from the airport there at Brother Chitty's place. We're only an hour away from the airport here where we're going. So just keep us in your prayers. We know you will. And, just think about, be thankful for what we have. You know, we have a pretty good size bus ministry going on. We got a lot of drivers. Need a few spares. We're running a little thin on that. And but this gentleman wants to start a bus route. He wants to get something started. So, and that's our whole purpose of going there, is to just, give him some encouragement, give the church some encouragement, help get this ministry started, and then move on to our next location. And hopefully I'll make it back. All right. Yeah, it's busy times, but I'm still thinking upon this word conversation. So if we'll go back there to Philippians chapter 1 again, we'll read that verse again. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. I know there's a lot going on. I got a text this morning. Well, actually, last night before I went to bed, I was asleep. But my friend there in New Mexico, Brother Jaime, he texted me. We text back and forth about every day. And he sent me the text that U.S. had bombed Iran. And so I woke up this morning and I'm thinking, man, I don't know that much about all of it to dig into it, to do you any justice. Pastor Carter has in-depth full of knowledge on that one there. But he's there in West Virginia. He'll be preaching also at Mount Salem when we go over there. So just pray for him and the traveling and everything that's going on there. And just a lot going on. It's a busy time. Summertime is a busy time. Before you know it, school will be starting back up. It'll be real soon. And that's even for me, too. I'm going to try and get back in there this semester if I can and get back going on that. The longer you drag your feet, the longer it takes. I know the one preacher just graduated. He'd been going for about 20 years trying to get his. So I don't want to set the record. I want to get it wiped out of the way, but I shared a lot with you last week about my personal conviction from conversation of the things in my life, some of the things in my life, and I didn't really get to some Bible verses. I want to show you some Bible verses today that may help us to understand a little bit more about our conversation. Remember, our conversation in today's definition is the things that we say when we converse, when we talk with each other. This word here can be used in multiple ways in this context also. Our lifestyle should be pointing people to Christ. The things that we say should be pointing people to Christ. And a lot of times, it don't. We may wake up late and we don't get in the Word that morning. And I know for me I'm a little bit frustrated in this process here. When I'm planning to go on a trip, I like to be in control. And I just hadn't been able to be in control. So the Lord's teaching me to get your hands off of it, buddy. Let me take care of it. So I come up here and hook the van up, and then the trailer lights didn't work. And I'm like, oh, man, I should have checked this at the house. But we got it working. I had a plug. We got that working. So see, we can let things like that infect us. And then when we get around people, we don't have a good testimony because we're frustrated about things. And we've got to have what they call the duck skin, the duck back. You know, just let it roll off of you like that water rolls off of them. And I'm not always like that. Sometimes people get under my skin, and I try to keep my mouth closed and go hide somewhere. You know, like in the cartoon where the cartoon character, he wants to yell and he don't. He runs outside and closes the door, and then he yells outside and he comes back in. That's kind of what I want to do. But it's we can all attest to that, to be honest. We all have issues with that. We all struggle with it. And if we say that we don't, I need you to tell me what your recipe is. Because in this old flesh, well, the temptation just wants to come out in every angle. But let's read this verse here, kick us off again, and then I'll move into some verses here, and let us just look and see. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be our greatest example, right? If we're to be called Christians, all right, we're to be Christ-like. I had a meeting one time at school when my kids were in public school. They began reading this book. And it was a black history book is what they said. I'm fine with that. I ain't got no problem with it. I hung out over in the hood all my life, so I have no problem with that. But some of the terminology, some of the things that was being said, some of the things that was going on in this book, and I went to the school. Now, this principal that was my son and daughter's principal was my principal when I was in school. And matter of fact, I believe she gotten saved here recently at a tent revival in Davenport. But at that time, she was not anything with, I think she was claiming to be a Methodist or something like that from the old days or something. But there was a lot of things in the book that I wasn't agreeing with. And my brother-in-law had sent me a little excerpt of it. It was a youth night. And I didn't know what it was. I was just looking at it. I'm like, what is this? Well, then he sends me a message and says, hey, this is what the kids are reading in school. Remember how I told you I kind of struggle to keep my mouth sometimes? I was ready to be mad that night. So I just began to pray, Lord, please let all these kids here that's getting on this van behave and not act out. I just need to drop them off so I can get home. I was furious. And it worked out good that he sent it to me on Friday. So I had the weekend to kind of mull it over and calm down a little bit. And then Monday, I'd take the kids and drop them off at the kids' drop-off. And I don't say nothing to them. I just pull on around to where the parents get out at. And I go inside and I need to speak with the principal. And I told her, I was like, hey, look, this book here has got cursing in it. It's got pornography. It's got child abuse. It's got racial slurs. And she tried to justify all this. Let me call the teacher in here. I said, I wouldn't care if you called the president. My child's not reading this book and it's not going to be part of it. Oh, we can't do that. Yeah, we can. So anyways, that was where we transitioned. I took them out of the public school. And then they asked me, they go, well, what about Ashley's parents? I go, I don't know. You got to call them about that. I already knew what was going to be said there. And I can answer for mine. I want you to call them and let you find out. So you see, it's just our mentality. In the conversation, they looked at me funny because I said the only music that I listen to is gospel music, 90.3. You don't listen to country music? I said, have you paid attention to what comes out of country music? Right? Your dog dies, your wife leaves you, you're always drunk, right? What good is it? There's nothing good coming out of it. There's no edification, right? So then I asked them, I said, because the teacher, her granddaddy was supposedly a pastor. Her dad was a youth pastor. And I said, let me ask you, you don't see a problem with these kids reading this book? I'm like, does either one of y'all know what the definition of Christian really is? It means to be Christ-like, right? We're from America, so we call ourselves Americans. If you're from another country, let's say if you was from Romania, you would be Romanians, right? So if we're going to be Christians, we need to be Christ-like. Christ is our perfect example. So let's read the verse here, Philippians 1:27. It says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. As I said last week, that is powerful. If we take that section of the verse, and if we was just to read that every day and apply that every day, think about that. If my conversation brought forth the gospel of Jesus Christ, We must ask ourselves that question. And then Paul says that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. See, everybody should stand fast in this conversation as it would become of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, that we're in one spirit and we're in one mind, right? If we're in one mind and one accord, we're all going to be moving forward together. There's not going to be strife. There's not going to be fussing and arguing. We're not going to be pulling against each other. The Bible says a house that is divided shall not stand. Okay? You can't go two different directions. I mean, we see too many church splits, too many non-denominational churches start up because I got my feelings hurt at the Baptist church. They were teaching doctrine, and they thought I should stand on it. Well, I mean, the only thing that the pastor and the teachers are going to teach is what the Lord gave us. So if you read this Bible is what's telling us how we should live. It's not the teacher, okay? But many times, people don't read it. A lot of times we want to get to the quote-unquote, if you wanted to call them, newer versions that say they're easier to read. I would tell you that you can claim that, but you won't get the same truth that you get out of this. There's enough taken out of it. You can listen to the theologians and the doctors and all them that tell you, they just changed the these and the thous. Read it a little bit deeper. There's a verse in Deuteronomy I got highlighted in my Bible that doesn't even say the same thing. Totally different. It says, add drunkenness to thirst. And in the NIV it says, and the dry land will be thirsty. Now you tell me how that's the same. They're nowhere near the same. See, so when we listen to someone and we don't study for ourselves, and I just tell you right now, I've been informed of an issue that's going on, not here. Another person contacted me about an issue, and it's coming from watching these people on YouTube. Most of them are not pastors. Most of them don't even have a church. But yet they're getting on there teaching what they think is the truth, right? And next thing you know, people start following them. Because they may have one little nugget that's good. And because they have one little nugget, man, this guy's got to know what he's talking about. And then next thing you know, here you go. You're going down a rabbit trail that's not good. All right? And that's what's happening. We're looking. The Bible does say that Greeks seek after knowledge and wisdom. We do. I mean, a lot of times I think we need a sign, but we want to be that flying above everybody type knowledge. Well, I just tell you this. I know of a place that had a pastor like that, and they said that he just taught over their head all the time. Let me tell you what they did. They closed their Bible. They didn't understand. So what happens? Now they become just vain ritual routines, just showing up for church because I got to, because if I don't, then he's going to fuss at me for not coming. And I know I should come, right? This is the only place you get strength from, is from the Lord Jesus Christ through his word. But let's look here. If you would, turn with me. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 there and give you a verse here. I really like to use this portion a lot of times at funerals because it talks a lot about comforting here in the first few verses and the comfort that the Lord has comforted us with, and we're to comfort others with those when they're in their tribulations. That's why we are to come together. You know, we're going up here to Sandusky, and the theme of our mission is building together, right? So how can you build a church when you're not building together, okay? That's going to be our vacation Bible school theme. I don't know if I was supposed to tell you that, but you know it now. We got it the other night. So, but that's what we're going to do. We're going to build together, okay? And that's what he's saying here pretty much is, listen, the comfort that I've given you, when he sent the comforter to us, the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to comfort us, to lead us, to guide us into all truth, right? We are to take that. And when we see someone that's hurting, we're to comfort them with the same comfort that he comforted us with. So if you'll pick it up over there, chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us, trusting in the Lord, all right? Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. All right, here we go. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. Paul was saying that he's telling you to look at his testimony. He's telling them to look at his testimony. Look at what we persevered through, what we had to go through, but yet we still trusted the Lord. All right? And he's saying, look at our conversation, look at our lifestyle, and let it be a testimony to you that you would stand fast also with us. Okay, you gave to the work. That's good. A lot of times we don't want to endure the things that we had to go through in the work. Trust me, ministry is not easy. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, they joke with preacher a lot and they just say, well, you just have to get in the pulpit 3 times a week. Boy, oh boy. Maybe y'all should get some of the phone calls, right? And the people that show up to your office and all the different issues. I've heard Pastor Carter say this, that if you would be here for the 3 counseling sessions that he gives a week, you most likely won't need to come have a personal counseling session in his office. Right. Amen? But we don't want to open the word, and so then our life gets in shambles, and then we run back. You know, we want to run to where we know the truth is, when if we would just stay in the truth, it would help us all, because then we can be that testimony in our conversation, just what Paul says. Then when people see us going through trials and tribulations, right? Those that you've tried to witness to, and eventually they'll show up and they'll come to you and they say, how do you handle this? They just open the door. You know what you do then? You just step in the door. It's like going soul winning. You know, when they open that door, you just, well, you don't step in until you're invited. All right, but if you're in college, you don't go inside. Amen. All right, if you would, turn with me over to Ephesians. No, Galatians chapter 1, to your right. Turn these pages. Amen. This is still some of Paul's epistles. He's writing to the Galatian church here. Let's start there in verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Okay? So if you're the servant of Christ, real quick, you're not going to worry about pleasing man. Okay? I'll just tell you now, there's a lot of grading that goes on with preachers when they preach, the pastors, what they should have preached, what they shouldn't have preached. You know, some people say that we follow this, I don't even know how to say that word, but this deal where the messages are set up, we don't follow that. Follow the Holy Spirit, all right? So we don't know what the pastor has been faced with and how the Lord's dealing with him. He deals with each of us differently, all right? So he gives the pastor the message that we need to hear, okay? The Bible tells the pastor to know his flock. He needs to know the state of the flock. He's to feed the flock, right? So for him to feed us, that means we got to show up. And it's I read a book about a shepherd's view of Psalm 23. And if you was to understand what a real shepherd goes through, and look at how the things line up with what the Bible teaches us about what a shepherd goes through. He goes ahead, all right? And he goes up on this next level where he's going to take the sheep. And he goes out and he clears all the poisonous and the bad things. You know what the pastor's doing all week? He's fighting battles, right? He's fighting battles. He's trying to keep the sheep away from the poisonous things, right? When they say, you need to stay away from YouTube, You need to stay away from them people. You need to stay away from this. You need to watch the music that you listen to. You need to watch this. It's not that he just wants to put these rules up because they just want to have rules, and you know, everybody thinks, oh, well, rules are bad. Well, listen, I told the teenagers this, they hate wearing uniforms at school. But we'll get a job that you wear a clown suit, and we don't have no problem putting on the most foolish looking outfit to go to work in, right? But then when the Lord says, be ye separate, if you've been reading the devotional, that's what it's been talking about, being separated, okay? And how do you separate? One thing is by our dress, okay? That's one thing that we can separate by. But there's so many things in this life we need to separate ourselves from the world. We need to give them a testimony that they can look at. But if you're trying to please man, it's not going to work. They're not going to be pleased. Verse 11, Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul didn't get this from nobody but from Jesus Christ. You read his testimony where he goes off 3 years and he's studying personally with Jesus. All right? Look at verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. We can all have a testimony at some point in time in our life when we was refusing the gospel. I was raised in church all my life, okay? I was in church before I was ever born, all right? You know, they say you had that drug problem. That was me. I was drugged to church every time the doors was open, every time there was a cottage prayer meeting, every time there was a Saturday night sing, every time there was a sing at another church we went to, all right? That's just how we were raised up. I'm thankful for that. You know, most people say, oh, that's terrible. And in this new age thinking, you're not giving the kids a fair chance. Listen, the best chance they'll ever have in life is to surrender their life to the Lord at a young age, right? Then you don't have to face all the trials and tribulations that some of us had to face and some of the issues that we're faced with now that's from our past, all right? They don't have to go through them heartaches, and they can be a much powerful testimony to their peers. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. Paul's still writing here. Now he's writing to the Ephesians. Chapter 2, verse 3, and it says, among also who we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh. Can we all not put ourselves in that line right there? There was a time when the lust of this flesh just overtook everything, and we lived out in the world, and just, it says, in the lust of the flesh, look at this, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. There's people out there still today living this same way. There's some that claim to be Christians that live this same way. See, our testimony, our conversation, listen, can be the most important thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul writes to the Corinthians church talking about ye are our epistles. I know a few years ago, Pastor Parsons preached this during the college graduation, talking about how it's not written in flesh and of stone, but in flesh of the heart. So the things that the college invests into these young men, they expect for them to go out according to the word of God and live this stuff out, not hold it in, to be that good example. I mean, the professors are required to hold a standard. They require the students to hold a standard. A lot of times they don't understand why. Well, I don't understand why I have to shave. I tell you what, go join the army. You're going to shave every day, whether you got peach fuzz or not. And if they catch you shaving at night, you're going to shave again in the morning. I'm just telling you, you're going to be clean shaven every day. And it's just discipline. It doesn't hurt. Things like that doesn't hurt. But we're in a world and an age today where we don't want discipline. We don't want rules. We want to live just recklessly. It's my life. Let me live it. Well, Paul writes and says that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So at that moment in time, they can claim that they're going to speak their peace to Jesus, but they won't be able to say nothing when they stand before the Holy One. Their mouth will be sealed. They won't be able to say anything because the presence of the Lord will be there. They'll be in total awe and shock. Then, if they are saved, all they'll have is ashes to give back. I mean, I don't understand. I've heard a person say this. Well, I know I'm saved. I'm not going to get rewards. That's terrible. That's terrible. I got some fire insurance is all I got. I hope he's got his policy for real. I hope he really is saved. But think about this. This is the flip side of it. How many people, according to that lifestyle, will be led to hell because 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he talks about measuring yourself against others. We're not to measure ourselves amongst each other. Here's the ruler. This is the measuring gauge. Don't measure up to me because I'm a man, I'm a failure. All right? Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 22. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, and it says this, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust. And look at 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We're to put on this new man, all right? We're to put these things on. We're to cast away the old conversation. You say, well, I'm going to lose some friends. I just tell you this. Those that have always said they were my friends, they're still my friends. Now, sometimes they have a statement to ask about what's going on with Chris, but that's not me. I was on the phone with a guy the other day, and he never even called my name. We were talking about trying to get a part for his truck, and we were talking, and the guy who was working with him is like, that must be Gillian, because he said, oh, yeah, tonight's Wednesday. It's church night, and that guy was like, oh, that must be Gillian, so... And I mean, that's not praise to me. That's to the Lord, because for me, back before I got saved, I didn't want to go to church. Didn't want to be around it. I even had a preacher get sent to my house before. And I kind of sent him back out the gate too. So turn over to Colossians. Let's finish it with this. I think this is another powerful statement, because as we're talking about our conversation, we need to think about the things that we say. Colossians chapter 4. I'm going to read to you what it says in the book of James. Talking about our mouth and the things that we say, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Look at this. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. So if I'm saved, curse words shouldn't come out my mouth. It's not a good testimony. I don't care who you are. Amen? I don't care how mad you get. I smash my thumb the way everybody else does. But a curse word is not the first thing that comes to my mind. Tears are the first thing that comes to my eyes because it hurts. All right? Let's look at what it says in Colossians chapter 4. It says, let your speech be always with grace, all right, with grace. John chapter 1, Jesus is full of grace and truth, okay? So for a Christian, all right, and we're to be like him. I'm going to read to you what it says in Luke here 22, or Luke chapter 4, 22. It says, He sat down and opened the Bible he was teaching. He closed the book, and it says, and all bear him witness and wondered, listen to this, at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" I know we think we can say what we want to say because we get a little bit older in life. This is just me. You just got to accept me. All right? No, that's not how it works. All right? If we're to be Christians, we need to look and see how Christ spoke to people. Well, he cleansed the temple. I'm sorry. I'm not the Son of God. Okay? Now, is there a time where we can get stern with people? Yes. But if you'll notice, in that time when Jesus cleansed the temple, there was something that he did not do. He was stern with them. He flipped the tables over. He ran the goats and the sheep out of there. But he didn't turn the turtle doves loose. The turtle doves were for the poor people. And I'm sure most of y'all know, if you turn the doves loose, you ain't getting them back. That was the sacrifice that was brought. If you remember, that's what Mary brought when she brought Jesus to the temple. Okay? So he still had compassion in correcting those that was doing wrong. As I told you about Nehemiah, same thing with him. He just warned him and said, if you do this again, you come outside the gate again, I'm going to lay my hands on you. All right? Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." If you'll read Proverbs, you'll see where it talks about answering a foolish person in his folly. All right? Somebody asks a foolish question. Sometimes it's not good to be a smart aleck. All right? My dad was always a smart aleck. He always had a smart comment to make to you. He just done it because he was always being funny like that. But he didn't do it to everybody. He would do it to us as kids. But if you look just across the page, you'll see I got a little arrow pointing over. Because chapter 3, verse 16 says this, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord." So instead of us chewing our brother and sisters out, instead of us being ugly to those outside the world, maybe the cashier screwed something up. All right. I know the telemarketers are pretty irritating. I can attest to that. I've got them turned off. They can't get to me. They got to leave a voicemail. I did answer one. It was a realtor. If you're a realtor in here, I'm not trying to be ugly. But this is what I told the man. I was trying to figure out where we were in the estate process. And I just asked him how he got my number. He says, "Well, it's attached to the property." I said, "My number's never been attached to that property." So he's asking me if I want to sell the property. I said, "Man, listen, I ain't trying to be ugly. I ain't trying to be hateful." I said, "But the dirt ain't even settled on my mama's grave, and you're already calling me wanting to know what I'm going to do with the property." Now, you take that how you want to take it, but I'm just being truthful. See, they're like the ambulance chasers. They find a probate case, somebody dies, and they're on the phone trying to find somebody in a hurting place. I could have got ugly with the guy. I could have told him off, you know, I could have told him all that, but I just wanted to put a little piece of truth to him, make him think. I don't know if it'll make him think, because sometimes when you get that smart, you can't fly down here underneath the radar. But just thinking upon this conversation, our words, our lifestyles, the places that we go, you may think it's not bad. But if it's anything that can cause anybody to stumble, think about that. Is what I'm going to do, is what I'm going to say, is the place that I'm going to go, could it cause someone to stumble and fall? And if we was to take that thought, I'm just being honest with you. If we was to take that thought, man, we'd be a lot more careful of the things that we say and do when we're around people. Man, some of our hardest people for us to reach is going to be our loved ones, our family, because they know us. You know, the things that we've done, the places we've been, the things that we've said, them are going to be the hardest people to reach. So we have to have that good testimony. We have to be cautious with the things that we say at work. I don't care how mad they make you. Just smile at them. They'll eventually think you're crazy. Just smile at them. But then have a good word from the Word of God to share with them. Have some scripture to make them think. because they'll eventually come back to you, desiring help one day. A loved one will pass away, and they won't know how you handle it. How do you handle that? And you can say, let me share it with you. And you can give them the gospel, because they open the door. Be ready. The Bible tells us to always be ready to give the reason of the hope that is in us, within us. But it keeps going with meekness and fear. Understanding that the things that we say, we hold their destiny in our hands if we say the wrong thing to turn them away. Sometimes there's things that we just shouldn't say. Amen. Well, that's my time there. Amen, Brother Baker. Amen. 8:23 this morning. Almost had 11 minutes. You got 10 minutes now. Amen. 10-minute break.